appreciate it. And I'm a prayer. I hope we continue coming to services, praying to our God that He continue to bless us and lead us, and just be thankful for what we've received thus far. But I got to do a little thanking the Lord here. Thank the Lord very much for the blessings He poured out upon us Thursday night at Upper Mill Creek at Statesboro. We thoroughly enjoyed that. Such a sweet bunch of people up there. If y'all have never been to that area, folks, that Lots Creek Association area was just so sweet and kind to us. And the love, I mean, it felt like I knew those folks forever, and I just met them Thursday night. And one of the reasons I keep coming back here, because y'all are my family, and I thank the Lord for that. And I mean that. You know, was talking to Brother Caleb last night that, you know, one of my evaluations in the kingdom of God sometimes is that folks who've never been anywhere else, they don't appreciate what they got. You know, and whether it be to another denomination or whether it be anywhere else, meaning out in the world, but folks who, that this is what you're used to, that you've had this since you're a little child, sometimes we don't appreciate it, you know? And even me, whenever I came into the Church of God, I joined a church in the AMIT Association area where the West and East AMIT are now, and we had, Brother Sam, at times 16 churches in an hour and a half radius, and it was beautiful. And I thought I took it seriously, and I thought I thanked God and appreciated the way I should, and then I moved up to Northern Indiana, and they didn't have that. And I realized how much I just underappreciated and how much I didn't thank the Lord for the blessings I had of being in an area where a strong group of churches was. I'm going to tell you, I'm not accusing you of not appreciating what you have, but if you don't, make sure you appreciate it. Because I'm going to tell you, you know, it may get weary during the springtime and summertime, all these annual meetings and everything, but whenever you ain't got one to go to, whenever you go to everyone in your state and you've only been to 3 meetings, it gets a little dry. You need a little water, and I hope, I'm going to tell you, I just appreciate y'all very much, and I thank the Lord for you, and I just love the family of God. There was a time in my life where I lived amongst people that I couldn't trust anybody, and now I live amongst people that whenever I stay with y'all and I'm running a little behind and getting ready for church, y'all say, just come on, we're going to go ahead, just lock the door behind you. You know, and you don't care about leaving me and my wife in your house unattended because we're family of God. We're kindred, brothers and sisters in Christ. If you have your Bibles with you this afternoon, I'd like to turn over to Luke chapter 22, verse 50. Let's back up to verse 49. This is after Judas betrayed the Lord with a kiss. And verse 49, right before the Lord is about to be taken and to be put on a cross, it says, when they which were about him, meaning his disciples, his apostles there, when they which were about him saw what would follow, and what was about to follow, these soldiers were about to take the Lord, these servants were about to take the Lord, and ultimately put him on a cross. And when they saw what was about to follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. You know, to me, I love, as I spoke earlier, and I want to make this point. I love the simplicity which is in Christ Jesus. Look, and whenever I say that, I'm not saying you have to dumb the gospel down. I'm not saying you have to preach the same sermon. But what I'm saying is, I love the simplicity. Sometimes people think, because people view preachers in a prestigious way, that a preacher has to start talking prestigiously. He has to start changing his dialect. I'm going to tell you, I was running a thought by my mama one time. We were on our way to church, Brother Sam, whenever I was exercising, might have already been liberated. And I was running a thought by her that the Lord had put on my mind, and I was talking to her about it and basically rehearsing my sermon, if you will. You know, I was scared to death. And she looked at me and she said, "Why are you trying to make it so complicated?" You know, sometimes we, as preachers, we get in our head that we got to make it sound smart or make it sound complicated. Why? Why use a 15-letter word when you're trying to preach about the simplicity in Christ Jesus? Why go to a dictionary to find a word to use that's not in the Bible? You know what I'm saying? I love simplicity. And to me, right here, I'm not worried about preaching so that I would sound smart and people would receive it. I'm worried about begging God to attend with His Spirit so that it can get past your preconceived notion of this obese, overweight child of God who has a backwoods Louisiana dialect, and you can get past what you see naturally and we can enter into a spiritual realm. And that's what we all need to be doing. I'm tired of people trusting to natural man. I'm going to tell you this. I didn't mean to get on this. This ain't where I'm going. Maybe we'll find out where I was going. I'm going to tell you this. I'm not against preachers using outlines. I'm not against preachers using notes. But here's the reason Brother Danny doesn't use the outline. And for the most part, I don't use notes. I have an outline in my head. The Lord has blessed me with a very good memory. When I was a kid, I thought it was just to memorize people's birthdays. And then when the Lord called me into the ministry, I realized why He gave it to me. And so I can't get mad at somebody for using a written outline. I would be a hypocrite if I criticized a man for using a written outline when every time I get behind the pulpit, I have an outline in my head. You see what I'm saying? I'd be a hypocrite. But this is the reason Brother Danny does not use a written outline. Because one time I was using a written outline, I had just been liberated. It was actually the sermon that I preached that caused them to liberate me. And you know what that means, right? So I was preaching or trying to preach, and it was the first time I had ever felt Holy Ghost inspired message. I had tried to bring messages before. I didn't stutter too much. I didn't say, too many times. And people, you know, thought it was edifying. You know, when you're at that stage in your ministry, you can say, Jesus wept and Moses crept. And people be like, oh, that's beautiful. You know, whenever you're just a young man exercising. But I had an outline there. And the Lord just showed up in a mighty way. And I just felt Him. And everybody there felt Him. And I was preaching there for the first time, I believe, with the Holy Ghost. And then I got to a point where the Holy Ghost said, go this way. And the outline said, go this way. And me being the sinner that I am, guess what way I went, Brother Sam? I went this way. And guess where the Holy Ghost went? That way. And the rest of the sermon was not a sermon. It was me trusting myself. You cannot intellectualize the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell you, people try to get too intellectual with their preaching and they intellectualize the Holy Ghost right out of it because they're trusting in Gill, they're trusting in Spurgeon, they're trusting in their Greek, they're trusting in their Strong's, and they're not trusting in God. I want God's Spirit here. Amen?
Amen.
That's the only way I can ever preach. We all don't have the same gifts. I'm going to tell you, volume does not equal spirit. Amen?
Amen?
I'm going to tell you, whenever I get excited and I get filled with the Holy Ghost, I get loud a lot. Sometimes I'll whisper. And that really throws people off. But sometimes it's delicate, right? And sometimes it's strong. But I've enjoyed men like Elder Rick Stewart. Now, I've seen him get in a big way too. But like Elder Rick Stewart will just open up his Bible And he'll just systematically go through what the Word of God says, and then the Holy Ghost will come, and it'll just be powerful. Sometimes I like those gifts more than the big yell at you gifts, because I know whenever Brother Rick's preaching and I just feel that power coming in, it's got nothing to do with the volume. It's got nothing to do with him waving his hands. It's all got all to do with God being there. Over here in Luke chapter 22, verse 49, they're about to take Jesus and put him on a cross. Now, you say, what's all they got to do? Talk about simplicity. Man tries to complicate God. That's the reason. Preaching is a miracle. A man of God needs to study the Word of God to be prepared for whatever the Lord puts on his heart and puts on his mind. But I'm going to tell you what, we can't make the sermon. God makes that. And we need to quit complicating things. Man has complicated the truth about salvation, and it bothers me when I see whenever I see a young man full of the Holy Ghost preaching the gospel, and then he gets around somebody who can tell you about Greek and Hebrew, and he gets intrigued to that, and he studies that Greek and Hebrew, and he studies Gil, and the Holy Ghost just goes right out of his preaching. I'm going to tell you what some of these young preachers study Gil and Spurgeon the way I want to study the Bible. I don't want to hear about what a man says. I want to hear about what the Word of God says. I want to tell you what, and to be honest with you, I don't want to hear what, I know I say it sometimes, I'll be behind the pulpit and I'll say, I think. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear what you think. I want to hear what the Lord says. And I trust this is all going to come together, because I'm talking about simplicity and us not messing things up. And I love simple things when it comes to the Lord and being able to explain grace. To me, this picture here in Luke chapter 22, 50 is a beautiful, simple picture to help explain or to illustrate salvation by grace. I want you to look at what's going on here. The Lord Jesus Christ is about 33 and a half years old, and he's been preaching the gospel in his earthly ministry for about 3.5 years. And he's healing folks, and he's preaching, and he's comforting folks, and the Pharisees are scared to death because they think all the Jews are going to run after him, and they're not going to have a place to make a living anymore, and they conspired to kill him and put him on a cross. And now there's some servants that have come to take the Lord, and look what happens to one of those servants. In the 49th verse, when they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. The servant of the high priest came to take the Lord and ultimately put him on the cross. And Peter whipped out his sword and he cut off his right ear. And you know what the Bible says? The Bible says Jesus looked at that servant of the high priest and he said, if you accept, I will heal your ear. That's what he said. Wasn't it, Brother Dan? No, that's not what he said. What did he do? He extended his hand, he touched him, and he healed him. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that servant of the high priest was the Lord's enemy that day. He had come to take the Lord and to put him on a cross. And by nature, every child of God that's ever existed on this planet, by our nature, whether you died in the womb or whether you died when you're 105 years old, by our nature, we are all the enemies of God. By our nature, we are the children of wrath. By our nature, we hate God. It says we are hateful and hating one another. And I'm going to tell you, by our very nature, we hate God. We want nothing to do with God. We don't fear God. We don't seek God. We are God's enemy. By our nature, we are Christ's enemy. And I'm going to tell you, our sinful nature is what put Christ on the cross. Right. And whenever that man came to put Christ on the cross, and Peter cut off his ear, and the Lord healed his ear, that's a beautiful picture to me of grace. Because that man was the Lord's enemy, but the Lord healed him
nonetheless. And I'm going to tell you, by my nature, I was the Lord's enemy. By Apostle Paul's nature, he was on his way to Damascus, bringing out threatening and slaughtering to the church of God, wanting to put people and hold them in prison. And he threatened people, if you don't denounce the name of the Lord, I'm going to cut your leg off. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to put you in prison. He hated the Lord Jesus. He hated the name of the Lord Jesus. He was the Lord's enemy because the Lord said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? I'm going to tell you, he was persecuting the church, but we are the body of Christ. He was persecuting the Lord. He was the Lord's enemy. And you know what happened? The Lord touched him.
Amen.
And he healed him. And that man, he didn't seek to be the Lord's enemy anymore.
Right.
He didn't seek to be the Lord's enemy. And Saul did nothing to receive that. It was by the grace of God. You know what grace means? Unmerited favor. There was a time I didn't believe in God. There was a time I didn't want to be around God. But God touched me. And now I just want to preach about Him. I want to yell about Him. I want to sing about Him. I just want to be around people that want to talk about Him.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I was the enemy to God. But nevertheless, look what it says over in Romans chapter 5. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Brothers and sisters, it just said there, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Why would He do that? If we're His enemy, if we're going against Him, and that's what that means is we're going against Him. He loved us with that everlasting love. He was never, in that sense, to a little child of God. He was never that type of enemy to a little child of God, but He's an enemy to our sin nature. But brothers and sisters, we are sin nature and ourselves. We were enemies to our God. But nevertheless, He has reconciled us to God even when we were enemies. Even when we were enemies, He died for us. Even when we were enemies, He born us of the Spirit. Go with me over to Titus chapter 3 real quick. I love this verse. One of my favorites. My wife will tell you I got lots of them. I want you to notice what it says in Titus chapter 3. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good word, to speak evil of no man. I tell them, tell you, Brother Danny needs to put that. You talk about being grateful, put over your mantle, brother. Speak evil of no man needs to be put over mine. Because I get a little haughty sometimes. I get a little self-righteous. And if people don't do what I think they should do, sometimes I speak a little evil, and I shouldn't. To speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. What he's saying here is teach them to do the right things, and then he tells them why you teach them to do the right things. For, because, we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts. He's talking about there was a time we weren't born of the Spirit is what he's talking about. There was a time where we were dead in our sins is what he's talking about. And pleasures living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. He's talking about this is how the new birth occurred. You were going contrary to God. You were the enemies to God. You were hateful and hating one another. You hated good things. You hated godly things. But the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. I wish this would be put on a billboard. I get tired of people putting on billboards. Are you saved? You better get saved. All this stuff. I want to see this on a billboard. Not by works of righteousness. That's pretty easy.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. What does mercy mean? It keeps you from getting what you deserve. We deserve hell. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by His grace, being declared righteous by His unmerited favor, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What this means is, we were His enemies. We were going the wrong way. We were that untoward generation. We were ungodly. And then the Lord touched us. The same way He touched that servant there who had his ear cut off and He healed him. That man, there's a lot of people I read in the Bible that got healed by the Lord. And you know, folks were mad because He ate with sinners. He ate with publicans and harlots and all this. They're mad at the Lord because of that. I don't see anybody complaining that He healed that servant's ear. You know, he certainly didn't deserve it, did he? But in the grace and mercy of God, He healed him. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, that's the way every child of God is born again. That's the way every child of God is going to heaven. We were by our nature sinners. We were by our nature children of wrath. We were by our nature the enemies of God. But by His grace, He touched us. I love that song. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, what joy that flooded my soul. Something happened. And now I know He touched me and made me whole. I want you to understand that if you've enjoyed any of this service, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you want to be a better person, it's because He has touched you and made you whole. Because natural man, with his child of wrath nature, cannot seek after God, cannot understand things about God, and if you do, you have been made whole by the grace of Jesus Christ. I love y'all and God bless.